Farewell. The survivor disappeared into the mists. Tensun left the gates of Keep Venture behind, running off into the mists. He could perhaps have gotten himself into the building, however, he wasn't certain how well his imitation of the survivor would hold up under closer scrutiny. He didn't know how reliable the two guards' information was. However, he had no better leads. Other people he had talked to in the night hadn't been able to provide any information about the army's movements. Evidently, Vin and Elland had been gone from Luthadel for quite some time. He rushed back to the patch of earth behind the warehouse where he'd found Kelsier's body. He knelt in the darkness, uncovering the sack he'd stuffed with bones. He needed to get the dog's body back and head north. Hopefully he would—
You there!
A voice said. Tensun looked up reflexively. A man stood in the doorway of the warehouse, looking through the mists at Tensun. A lantern flared to life behind him, revealing a group of people who had apparently taken up residence inside of the holy place. Uh-oh, Tensun thought, as those at the front adopted shocked expressions.
My lord,
the man in front said, quickly kneeling in his sleeping robe.
You've returned.
Tensun stood, stepping carefully to hide the sack of bones behind him.
I have, he said.
We knew that you would,
the man said, as others began to whisper and cry out behind him. Many fell to their knees.
We stayed in this place, praying for you to come give us counsel. The king is mad, my lord. What do we do?
Tensun was tempted to expose himself as a Khandra, but looking into their hopeful eyes, he found that he could not. Besides, perhaps he could do some good.
Penrod has been corrupted by ruin, he said. The thing that seeks to destroy the world. You must gather the faithful and escape this city before Penrod kills you all.
My lord, where should we go?
Tensun hesitated.
Where?
There are a pair of guards at the front of Keep Venture. They know of a place. Listen to them. You must get to a place underground. Do you understand?
Yes, lord,
the man said. Behind, more and more people were edging forward, straining to catch a glimpse of Tensun. He bore their scrutiny with some nervousness. Finally, he bid them be careful, then fled into the night. He found an empty building and quickly changed back to the dog's bones before anyone else could see him. When he was done, he eyed the survivor's bones, feeling a strange reverence.
Don't be silly, he told himself. They're just bones, like hundreds of other sets you've used.
Still, it seemed foolish to leave such a potentially powerful tool behind. He carefully packed them into the sack he'd pilfered, then, using paws he'd created to have more dexterity than those of a real wolfhound, he tied the sack on his back. After that, Tensun left the city by the northern gate, running at full wolfhound speed. He would go to Urto and hope that he was on the right path.
The pact between preservation and ruin is a thing of gods, and difficult to explain in human terms. Indeed, initially there was a stalemate between them. On one hand, each knew that only by working together could they create. On the other hand, both knew that they would never have complete satisfaction in what they created. Preservation would not be able to keep things perfect and unchanging, and ruin would not be able to destroy completely. Ruin, of course, eventually acquired the ability to end the world and gain the satisfaction he wanted. But then, that wasn't originally part of the bargain.
53. Spook found her sitting on the rocky lakeshore, looking out across the deep black waters, so still in the cavern's windless air. In the near distance, Spook could hear Sazed, with a large contingent of Gordel's men, working on their project to staunch the flow of water into the cavern. Spook approached Beldra quietly, carrying a mug of warmed tea. It almost seemed to burn his flesh, which meant that it would be just right for normal people. He let his own food and drinks sit out until they cooled to room temperature. He didn't wear his eye bandage. With pewter, he'd found that he could withstand a little lantern light. She didn't turn as he approached, so he cleared his throat. She jumped slightly. It was no wonder that Quellian worked so hard to shelter the girl. One could not fake Beldra's level of innocence. She wouldn't survive 3 heartbeats in the underground. Even Olrianne, who did her best to look like a puff, had an edge to her that bespoke an ability to be as hard as necessary in order to survive. Beldra, though. She's normal, Spook thought. This is how people would be if they didn't have to deal with inquisitors, armies, and assassins. For that, he actually envied her. It was a strange feeling, after so many years spent wishing that he were someone more important. She turned back toward the waters, and he approached and sat beside her. Here, he said, handing her the mug. I know it gets a bit chilly down here, with the lake and the water. She paused, then took the mug.
Thank you, she whispered.
Spook let her roam free in the cavern. There was very little she could sabotage, though he had warned Gordel's men to keep an eye on her. Either way, there was no way she was going to get out. Spook kept 2 dozen men guarding the exit, and had ordered the ladder up to the trapdoor above removed, to be replaced only with proper authorization. Hard to believe this place was beneath your city all along, isn't it? Spook said, trying to work into a conversation. Oddly, it had seemed easier to speak to her when he was confronting her in her gardens, surrounded by danger. Beldra nodded.
My brother would have loved to find this place. He worries about food supplies. Fewer and fewer fish are being caught in the northern lakes. And crops. Well, they're not doing so well, I hear.
The mists, Spook said. They don't let enough sunlight through for most plants. Beldra nodded, looking down at her mug. She hadn't taken a sip yet.
Beldra, Spook said, I'm sorry. I actually considered kidnapping you from those gardens, but decided against it. However, with you showing up here alone...
It was just too good an opportunity, she said bitterly. I understand. It's my own fault. My brother always says I'm too trusting.
There are times that would be an advantage.
Beldra sniffed quietly.
I've never known such times as that. It seems my entire life I've just trusted and been hurt. This is no different.
Spook sat, feeling frustrated with himself.
Kelsier, tell me what to say, he thought.
Yet God remained silent.